I'm Pastor Rob. I'm campus pastor at our Muskego site, our Muskego campus. It's good to be back here in Waukesha, though, seeing some familiar faces as well as some new faces. But I have to give a shout out to our group in Muskego as well as Waterford. Great, all coming together as a church this morning, isn't it? Okay, you're sad. Oh my. We got some teaching to do here, it sounds like, don't we? Yeah, we got to wake up. Bill said we're already awake, though, so. Have you ever had one of those moments, one of those times where you thought this thought, I didn't quite picture it that way? You ever hear a radio announcer and then you get to see their face and you think, that's not what they look like? Yeah, that is what they look like. That's why they call it a radio face rather than a television face, right? Or for me, a lot of times it happens when I read the book and then watch the movie. You ever do that before? You say, that's not the way it's supposed to go. They left this out, or they left that out, or that wasn't quite as good. How many of you like to read the book? Okay? How many of you like to watch the movie? All right, I'm with you with the movie thing there, okay? A lot quicker that way, for me at least. We have those kind of moments at times, and that happens a lot, actually, with the Bible, and in particular with this passage that I want to look at this morning found in Matthew. If you turn there, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18 is where I want to go. And the reason for this is because it is the first time that you'll see the word church mentioned in the Bible. And it's Christ who is mentioning it here. And you may have heard this passage before, but even if you haven't, I want you to kind of picture what's taking place. And so I'll back up a little bit even from verse number 18. But picture how you would see this unfolding and how it was all put together even when Christ makes this very, very important statement in Matthew chapter 16. And verse number, like I said, 18. But let me back up just a little bit here. To verse number 16. It says, Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Now, would you read this next verse with me, verse 18? And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. How many of you have heard that passage before? If you're here just 2 weeks ago, you've heard it, okay? Because Guy read it to us as well. Do you get a picture of Jesus having this conversation? You know, 12 guys around him maybe, and he points out Peter there, and it's nice and calm in a beautiful kind of serene place, maybe by the Sea of Galilee, maybe in a nice green pasture. Well, like I said, I had one of those watch the movie and everything kind of changes and saying, that's not quite the way that I pictured it because I got an opportunity to be in the place where Jesus actually made this comment. Take a look.
Jesus had a great way of asking questions when he wanted to get a great truth across. And so at this place, Caesarea Philippi, in this region, it tells us that Jesus talked to his disciples and asked a very pointed question. Before he did, he left it kind of general. He said, who do people say that I am? In other words, kind of what's on the word on the street here of who the Son of Man is? To which they answered, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And then he turned the question very personal, and he said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Well, Peter had the right answer to that question. He said, you're the Messiah. And so with that, then Jesus said, that's right. He says, upon that truth right there that you've just given, I'm going to build my church. And then he went on to say a very important thing. Right in this place, or around this area at least, he said, and with the church, the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. Giving us that insurance that there's going to be nothing that's going to be able to stop what he started. That he's the Messiah, he's come to save us, and he wants us to share that with others through what we've come to know as a church. Interesting thing is the church, that was the first time that we see it even used. And to tell us that this is something that's going to happen, something that was very difficult for them to understand even, because this place was really just a place of horrific worship of other gods. And even known as the mouth to hell or Hades itself. And so a very pointed illustration that he wanted to get across. The church is the hope of the world.
Does that change perspective a little bit? It would be attuned to this today. It would be like Jesus saying, I want all my followers to go with me right now to Sin City, and we're going to go to the red light district. And then he says, I want to make an announcement. The church is the hope of the world. Would anybody else be a little skeptical at that point? Looking around like, you got to be kidding me. There's evil all around here. There's no way the church is the hope of the world in this place. He purposely took them to a place that it looks like they were going to be defeated, that nothing was going on spiritually, to give them this news, to say, I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to have it be something that is going to take place for many years after this, that's going to continue to be the way that I have chosen to be able to share Christ with others. So let me ask you this. When you face that scenario today, do you ever feel yourself questioning the effectiveness of the church? When you hear that statement, the church is the hope of the world, you kind of get a little skeptical saying, no, I'm not seeing it that way. Seems like the church is kind of going a different direction, a little downhill, like it's going to be non-existent after a while here. Or to think, you know what, of all the words that I would use to describe the church, does that word overcomer fit your description of the church today? He was trying to point out to them that we need to be encouraged that, you know what, this is something that God wants to use. That's why Guy and Pastor Don even last week remind us the church is God's means and God's plan for carrying out his work in the world today. So then we have to ask ourselves, do I believe that? Well, let's look at this next statement. I am the church. Do you believe that? You are the church. We are the church. Do you believe it? Okay, then say it with me. I am the church. That wasn't very painful, was it? Hopefully. Maybe for some it was because you're not sure if you want to be a part of the church yet. And I know there are some people who come to Fox River and it's like, I'm just checking these things out and we are so grateful that you're here with us today. And you might not be able to say, I am the church yet because you're still trying to figure out, do I want to be associated with the church? Understand that we're all there. I grew up in a family that had given up on the church. There is no way they would have said the church is the hope of the world. Generations, my parents didn't go to church for a long portion of their life, at least. My grandparents, I never remember being in church, and I don't even know about my great-great-grandparents. We weren't church-going people because someone gave up on the church early on in their lives. And this next piece might even be harder because, you know what? If you are the church, then Jesus is saying something else about you. And it's this, that means I am an overcomer. Will you say that with me? I am an overcomer. Why is it so important that you see it that way? Because Jesus said that. He said the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church, that the church will overcome the gates of hell as he stood in a place that was known as the gates of hell and was thought of as the gates of hell. And the reason that we need to understand this and be confident even in it is because it changes our whole perspective on the church and its importance and its purpose. And if the church loses its purpose, it will fail. Not every single one of them. Christ promises that it won't. And Christ came and he paid the price so that we know that we're on the winning team, so that we will have victory. You know what? It may come at the very last minute, but we're going to have victory. He died to give us victory even, so that makes us an overcomer. But have you ever noticed that it's very difficult if you don't believe that? It's very hard to cheer for a losing team, isn't it? Anybody like to cheer for a losing team? I'm not talking about an underdog. I'm talking about a loser, okay? All right? Okay, I have a real hard time because I'm very competitive, and so I hate to lose. My wife will verify that several times over, I'm sure. But I don't like cheering for losing teams. Well, a little bit of insight for you. I came to Wisconsin in the mid-80s. Does that tell you anything right there? And I was told, if you're going to live in Wisconsin, then your sports allegiance needs to go to Wisconsin as well, which hasn't quite happened on certain areas yet. And they told me, there's this team that plays every single Sunday during this portion of the year. And they have some of the ugliest colors I would have ever picked in my life. They call it green and gold, but I think it's pukey yellow that they use half the time for it, okay? And they have this symbol that's just a plain old G, and I thought, you gotta be kidding me. They said, no, you have to watch this. You have to watch the games on Sunday afternoon. It was like its own religion. You need to watch it. And here was the biggest struggle of all. There was a guy by the name of the Magic Man, Don Mikowski. Do I have to say anything else? Who looked like he had such great potential, but they could never quite make it. They couldn't get there. And know what I was told? You need to be a what? Packer fan. You know what my attitude was? Do I have to? You see, sometimes, don't you feel like we have to be apologetic for the church? Kind of like, do I have to be a fan of the church? Do I really have to go to church? You ever been there? Some of you are lying like crazy right now, okay? We've been there, haven't we? Like, do I have to? Do I have to associate myself with these types of people? And it's going around, all around us. Several people who won't understand, who don't understand, why are we enthusiastic about the church? Again, you may be here today wondering why people come together and associate and call themselves a church, because their pictures are vivid pictures of hypocrisy. They're vivid pictures of being judged. They're vivid pictures of people who just get together and sit in a seat and then go their own ways afterwards. There's a lot of pictures there that have been very detrimental. And so we need to make sure that we're changing that, that we are the church, that we are overcomers. And we need to really look at it and help to understand, help others understand that an overcoming church is a healthy church. That is the caveat. Every church is not an overcoming church, and every church is not a healthy church either. When I use that word church, what we have to understand is it's not just a person. But really, if you're going to have a healthy church, it means you have to have healthy church members. Now, when I use that term member, don't think I'm saying somebody who went through a class and now calls themselves members. But if you are a part of the church, that's who I'm talking to. The church overall cannot be healthy unless you're spiritually healthy. And it is so important for you to be spiritually healthy. One of the ways I can summarize it is this. This is one of the biggest reasons. Because my life as a Christ follower should make others question their disbelief in God, not confirm it. And if you're not healthy, you are helping others who don't believe and who are skeptical to be seated right in that skepticism with good reason. And that needs to change. And so we need to be healthy, because if you are healthy, you will attract the attention of others who will say, why are you like that? That will question why they don't believe, and that will want to find out more about what you do believe and why you believe it and why you associate yourself with something called the church. Because it is much bigger and much greater than oftentimes what we give credit to and what we realize. And so one of the things we have to do, though, is clear up often misconception. I don't know when it actually took place, but you can see how easily it can take place, and clear up some confusion. You see that word church itself, it communicates something. It communicates what? It communicates a place, right? That's how we use it, don't we? What do we say? Did you go to church this week? What does that communicate? That church is a destination. It is a place that you go to. The problem with that is it begins to suck the life out immediately, because if church is treated just as a destination, then we start treating the church in a way where we fall short of Christ's vision for us. It becomes more about attendance at that point rather than health. It becomes more about, you know what, if I went to church, then I'm good. And you know what, good isn't even enough at that point. So we'll begin to think, you know what, if I went to church, not only am I good, but I am godly. Christ is looking down upon me with great favor because I attended church today. It was never intended to be that way. It's not just a destination that we go to maybe on a weekly basis, maybe on a monthly basis, maybe twice a year basis. It's meant to be more than that. It's not just a building that we have. And so what Christ did was he used a term that actually accurately described it. We have to go back to the Greek in order to see this term, though. But it's a term called ekklesia. And ekklesia is not a building. In fact, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, guess what? There's no building there to this day. You know what is there? That cave that they call the gates of hell. Know what else there is? There's indentations in the side of the wall where they put idols and worship them. But there is no church because he wasn't talking about a building and he wasn't even talking about that spot. He was saying that anyone who names the name of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, you are the church. Ecclesia is a people. It communicates a people. It's a people who have proclaimed that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's the church. That's a big difference, isn't it? A huge difference. Because we can't just get away then with attending, just being there, just showing up. He's saying, no, the church is a gathering of people who come together. And in that place, because we do, I'm not a proponent of saying, hey, let's just forget about having a building, let's not give a time and just kind of everybody just show up whenever you want to, okay? That would not work very well. You need some definition to that gathering. And so we do. We bring some definition to it. And when we have that gathering, we have quite a spectrum on the spiritual journey at that gathering. We have some who are coming that are still in that place of they want to find out more about who Jesus is and see if he's worth following. Again, you may be in that place today, and I am so grateful that you're here today. And I hope you being here today will help you in that journey. Some have already made that commitment to Jesus Christ, and so you come to that gathering because you want to, again, just be encouraged in your spiritual walk to take that next step, whatever it may be. And so we have this wide spectrum, but guess what? We're the church. We're the church. We are the gathering. We are the ecclesia, the ones who have been called out to come gather together. So, with that cleared up, we need to understand again, though, if we're going to be overcomers, then we have to be healthy. So what are characteristics of health? As that reminder of health, we purposely have placed into our mission statement our very last heart, that symbol of health. It looks like this. You notice that it has ongoing arrows there? You have both vertical arrows representing our love for God needs to continue to grow. Then you have horizontal arrows there representing that our love for others need to grow because it's all founded in what's called the Great Commandment. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God with everything within you and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Continue growing in that. So health requires something. Health requires movement. That is where we go wrong. If we look at it as a destination, that's a stopping point. And when everything stops, we become lethargic. We become stagnant. So we need to keep on moving. A guy by the name of Isaac Newton, in fact, he had three laws of motion. I just want to give you the first one. Maybe you've heard it before because it's become quite popular. Actually, would you read it with me here? A body in motion will stay in motion. A body in rest will remain at rest. You know what he's saying? It's good to rest every once in a while, right? But if you never move, what does that mean? To me, if I'm looking at you and you never move, you're dead. It's a good indicator, isn't it? Might walk up and take your pulse, but I'm going to assume you're dead. Why? Because we're not meant to stay at rest and be healthy. We need to move. We need to continue to move. He says, we are on a mission and we can't lose sight of that mission. And we need to be healthy, and that means we need to look at the movement. So I want to give you four helps, and we'll just take a little bit of time. We're not going to do a deep dive on all of these, but actually just touch on them just a little bit. Really what they're called are our four C's here at Fox River, and they're reminders to us of how we can continue to be healthy. And so I want to give them to you literally as helps for you to continue to be a healthy church member. So that we, as a local church, as Fox River Christian Church, can be an overcoming church, to be doing what God has called us to do. The first movement that we see, or the first help, is this. Come as you are and bring a friend. Would you say that with me? Come as you are and bring a friend. Why is that so important? If we're going to continue to pass things on to others, to generations, we have to give an invitation, extend an invitation to them. I want you to think about it. What ended you up in church? Possibly, quite possibly, it was somebody inviting you. Hopefully you are absolutely pleased with that decision. Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was a friend, but someone took and said, I need to seriously look at this because it is so important that I invite others to come and be a part of what's going on and God's working. It's so important because of this. Everyone will spend eternity somewhere. And when I say somewhere, it's very limited. It's actually one of two places. We've all heard of them before, right? One is what? Heaven. You always start with a good one, don't you? Okay, all right. And the other is what? Hell. Those are your only two options. Guess what? Those are the only two options out there. And so we need to be sharing with others who Jesus is so that they will have a relationship with him, so they will spend eternity in a place called heaven with God rather than in a place called hell separated from God. That is so, so very important. And that needs to be the fuel that fires us up where we're willing to tell others about who Jesus is. There's a guy by the name of Levi. We come to know him better as Matthew. And we see just after Jesus said to him, he said, Levi, come follow me. He did something very interesting that each and every one of us really need to do. And it tells us this, we see in the book of Luke. Look at what he says here. Luke chapter 5, verse number 29. It says, then Levi held a great banquet or a party for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Do you see what he did? He understood that relationship with Jesus Christ was so very, very important. He wanted all his friends to know about it. So he put together a party and he invited Jesus so that they could meet him. You know what? When we say you need to come as you are and you need to bring a friend, it's because God has set up the church as his way to work in this world today to help others to come into relationship with him. It is the most effective way for someone to come and find out who Jesus is. And so all we're saying is extend that invitation. Do you know other people who are not a part of the church? Do you know other people who have either given up on church or they do not follow Jesus? Then we need to go ahead and extend that invitation to them, to actually invite them to come and be a part. So here's my question for you. When was the last time that you invited someone? When was the last time that you opened up to someone and said, you know what? I would like you to come to church with me. And you risked a little bit of ridicule, maybe, or you risked a little bit of rolling eyes, like, you got to be kidding me. Why would I do something like that? Anybody else been there before? Yeah, I'm sure we have. But God wants us to extend that invitation. We've got Easter coming up, a great time to invite people. Say, why don't you come with me? It's very important that we continue to make movement in that direction. So, one of the helps is to come as you are, bring a friend. A second one is this, and I want to ask you this before I move on to the second one. Not only who have you invited, but do you have someone in mind right now that you could invite? Just like Levi, I'm not saying you have to throw a party. We'll throw the party here, okay? You just invite them to come. To come be a part. It is so very important for us to do that. But a second one, second C is connect. We find in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 42, connections. I already mentioned them. These are the greatest commandments. One of those connections is focused on God, with God himself. But a second one is with others. He said, you need both of these. Anybody else, when you go to someone, say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come to church with me? They say, I can worship God somewhere and anywhere else. Anybody have that? You've heard that before? God's saying, you know what? You need to meet together in worship. Yes, worship can extend beyond Sunday, but worship needs to come together as believers and worship God. And then the second piece is something just as important, otherwise he wouldn't have given it to us. We call that connection with God worship. And it needs to be genuine. It needs to be authentic, because the last thing we want is people coming in saying, this is a place of a bunch of fakes. They sing songs they don't really mean. They sit in seats and they don't help others. That's not authentic, obviously. We need to have an authentic connection with God, but we also need to have a connection with others. We call this something else. We call it fellowship. The Bible calls it fellowship or community. What that means is this. You don't need to know everyone, but you need to know someone. And you need to know them at a level that you can share things with them. Important things that are going on inside your life, inside your heart. Do you have someone like that in life right now? And then, do you have someone like that that's a part of the church? You might say, no, no, all my friends are outside the church. It's good to have friends outside the church. Again, we need to be reaching. But you also need people inside the church that you would consider friends. You see, what we need to do is get past breaking the ice to a point of breaking bread together. You see, breaking ice would be kind of like what we do during the greeting time. You get up, you shake a few hands. That's maybe breaking the ice a little bit. But breaking bread together is when you're actually sitting together and you're opening up and sharing life with someone else. A lot of times we think of it as a meal, and it's great to have food, isn't it? So it works easier with food anyways. But to sit with them, we would suggest even sit with 10 or 15 people maybe that you can talk to, you can share what's going on in your heart, you can ask your questions to, you can share your prayer requests to. We call it journey around here. We'd say, you know what, if you're not a part of Journey, a great help to you of being a healthy church member is to be in one of those groups where you can meet together on a regular basis and do life together. And it's so very important. In fact, if you're not in one, you'll see on your connection card a box there that you can check off that would say, I'm interested in finding out more about Journey, and we'd be glad to get back to you and help you to find a group that you can get involved in where you can experience what the Bible calls fellowship or community. Here's why. Oftentimes, again, a mistake that we make, church is not just about belief. Belief is important, but it's also about belonging. And if you're not at a point where you have enough connection with others in the church that you feel like you are the church, that's a problem. And that needs to change. Otherwise, you're at risk of always being an outsider looking in. At risk of being able to just walk away without anybody ever knowing who you are. There's a good portion to anonymity, but there's a bad portion to it as well. And you want to be known. And so to be in a place where you can be known. So, what was our first one? Our first help? Come. What's our second help? Connect. Let's try that again. You guys are sad this morning. What's our first one? Come. Our second one? Connect. Our third help here is simply this. We need to care. Care for my neighbor. Again, goes back to that commandment where he says, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And he goes on and tells a story about that is anyone that we see that needs our help. There are three areas of focus for this. One is my church. The second one is my community. The third one is my world. We need to be looking at this in balance. You know, sometimes we think, well, I need to take care of home first. No, that's not what God says. We need to be showing care in every single one of these. It needs to be a wide expanse. We need to show care in our church. It means use your gifts and your talents to serve God. It means use your financial resources to help continue God's working right here. Our community, that's why we do things, and we have something coming up called the Blood Drive. We do food drives. We do Second Saturday so that we continue to put care on our community. And then globally, that's why we do missions, is so that we can be involved in caring. So here's my question for you. Simply this. How are you caring in a very tangible way with your time, with your talents, with your treasure? How are you showing care? Can you think of it immediately? Or is there a step that you need to take? Have you gotten stagnant where you're no longer moving forward? And you need to get back in motion again to be healthy as a church so that we as a local church can be healthy as well. So we have come. Connect. We have care. And then our fourth one is change. Matthew 28, verse number 19, tells us we need to, our responsibility, our marching orders is to go and make disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus Christ. Here's a good definition for you when it comes to discipleship. Discipleship is becoming more and more like Jesus from the inside out. And so what I want you to do is to look at that and say, how is life change taking place in me? That's one of the reasons that we meet together. That's one of the ways that will help us to be healthy, is to say, you know what? One of the reasons that we open up God's word, we read it, is so that life change will take place, so that we can see his desires for us and we can make adjustments to our lives so they line up with what Jesus is about. And so he's the standard that we need to go by. That's why in that definition right there, you see it's becoming more and more like who? Jesus. He's the measuring stick. He's the one that we need to look at our lives and see how does it match up with his values, with the way that he lived his life, with the way that he teaches us to live ours. And so simply, look back. Give a little bit of grace here. How long has it been since you've seen change? Life change, real life change. If I were to say yesterday, it'd be really hard maybe, right? But how about a month ago? Are you different in a better way than you were a month ago? Are you more like Jesus today than you were a month ago? If not, could it be that you're stagnant, that you've stopped, and that there needs to be movement again, where you're opening up God's word with the purpose of being able to see what he has for you and make adjustments. So four helps. Same with me, would you? Come, connect, care, and change. God wants us to be healthy. You know what a healthy church looks like? He gives a great example in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. The first church, in fact, that we see, this is what he says about them. He says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, worshiping God. They broke bread in their homes, fellowship. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now read this next part with me because it shows the results of a healthy church. Together, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see us be the church, overcome hell. That's what he's talking about. People being added to the church, being saved. You may be here. That may be new to you, or maybe you're coming back to the church. But when he says being saved, that goes back to what I said before about everyone's going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And God wants everyone to be saved. So I'd invite you today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you make today that day when you do. If you'd like to talk to someone more about that, we're going to have a prayer team right down front here after service. And I'd ask you just to approach them and let them know that you have questions about what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and to have them enter into a conversation with you about that. So, so very important. We are the church and we're overcomers because Christ already has the victory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. The church is a bigger deal, Lord, than a lot of times we give credit to because we get hurt, because we don't see you here at times, Lord, because things don't work out the way that we want them to, because there's all kinds of evil still around us in this world. And Lord, sometimes it looks like we're being defeated. Sometimes it looks like you're being defeated, Lord, but you promise a victory and you say that you will prevail. And God, you do help us understand. You give hope and you give that hope through the church. And we're so grateful that we can be a part of that working. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.